Their scripts were lost, and for a good 200 years, there are no written records of any kind surviving from Greece, and indeed, the Greeks forgot how to write. When they began to write again around 750, they invented not the first script, but the first full alphabet, taking the alphabet from a Semitic language, Phoenician, related, though distantly, to Hebrew, which had an alphabet only of consonants. To that, the Greeks added vowels, the first vowels to appear in any alphabet, which made it a full alphabet, and they began to write. And the first thing they wrote down, or very close to it, was the Iliad and its sister poem, the Odyssey. We'll talk about what makes it important and what its themes are and how it offers a contrast and complement to Hebrew culture in just a second. That's our main point. But to address that main point, there are one or two things that we should take a look at about Homeric poetry itself. One of them is this. Though it is our earliest written Greek text, in some sense it wasn't composed as written. It was composed, actually, in a sense, like this lecture is being composed, from a pre-existing sense of what needs to be said, upon which the poet extemporized. The poet made it up as he went. That was the discovery of a young scholar named Milman Perry, who revolutionized Homeric studies in the 30s, responding to something that every reader of Homer will have noticed, and that is Homer's propensity to repeat himself. Bright shining Achilles, Hector, breaker of horses, many-minded Odysseus, Odysseus of the great council, rosy-fingered dawn, the wine-dark sea. And when they had had their fill of eating and drinking, stock phrases recur in Homer all the time. And the reason for that is what an oral poet did. When an oral poet was learning the craft of oral poetry, was memorize a whole bunch of blocks of poetry that fit the metrical context, that could be moved around like blocks and assembled in real time. Rhododactylos Eos, to name probably the most famous of them all, rosy-fingered dawn, not because all dawns are rosy-fingered, but because Rhododactylos Eos fits the meter. Polytropos Odysseus, many-minded Odysseus, or Odysseus of many terms, fits the meter. So there's a strange cultural moment that Homer talks about, that Homer bespeaks in his poem, when society is moving from an oral society in which, and this is, the implications of this are immense, in which you can't look anything up. In what the society knows is what whoever knows most in that society can remember. The equivalent of the New York Public Library is your head or my head. For that reason, without exception, all early writings are in verse because verse is easier to remember than prose. We think of poetry as a refinement, but culturally the opposite is true. Prose is a refinement. No culture ever starts out writing prose, and it's hard to do in comparison to writing poetry for cultures as they develop. Homer is right on the hinge. A story for which there's no evidence that I'd like to tell myself is that Homer was written by the granddaughter, literate, of the greatest of the oral poets. He couldn't write, she could, she wrote it, and I sometimes like to pretend to myself that she, after he had died using his techniques, wrote another poem, The Odyssey, which embodies a much more female perspective, as we'll see. It may be it was generally considered that one person wrote or composed them both. Nobody knows for sure. Nobody knows for sure where Homer was from. But the testimony of antiquity was unanimously that there was such a person. Modern people have contested it, and that he composed these poems.